Hi, this is Ryan Bruce with SpiritualHealingSource.com. It's a website I helped create featuring the writings of Brad Cullen, an internationally recognized author of several books about spiritual topics and particularly related to physical and emotional healing.
Hi, Brad, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Glad to talk to you again today. I've got Secret 5, Part A, and it brought up a lot of questions for me. I need some help to get past through some of these challenges. Part of it's in my understanding of the language you're using, and then the other part is in the how. Without further ado, I'd like to just jump right in to the very first paragraph where you talk about eternal life. And you give the original language definition, meaning no beginning and no ending. And I'm not quite sure I understand no beginning and no ending. So I get the no ending, but I'm not quite sure about the no beginning part. I mean, everybody I know was born. What does that mean?
It's the unseen realm that is referred to in English as heaven, the translation. It's the other world that is going on right now.
So are you telling me that heaven is a translation?
Well, what's your question? What do you mean?
I always thought heaven was a place, and that's what's presented to me, that when I die, I go to heaven in a physical place. And
well, if we go back to what Jesus said, which was, don't look here, don't look there, for the kingdom of heaven is within you. Spirit realm is here and now, and it's within you.
And so that spirit realm is the place where there's no beginning and no ending. In other words, there's no birth, there's no death. It's a place like without time. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, perfect.
I think I understand what you're saying. There is a place that Jesus refers to called heaven that has no time in it. And it's a spiritual realm where I always was and I always will be. And my body, in essence, prevents me from accessing this simply or easily or being aware of it all the time. Is that correct?
Well, it's per usual. We're really talking about something that when people are trapped by the physical realm, and they call the physical realm real, and they call the spirit realm unreal, we're trapped by our minds that are conditioned to believing that this physical existence is reality. And what Jesus is talking about related to eternal life means that other plane, which is real. They're both real. Physical is real, but spirit is real, just as real. And it's our destiny. And what he says is eternal life is now. There is no beginning and no ending. I'm glad we're having this conversation. You're making me think.
So if I access it, I then am in a place of eternal life.
Sure.
Because it brings about my second question I've highlighted here, which can be accessed now, this moment, and never has to end from this minute forward. Now, accessing that place, that place with no time, that place of the spirit, and never having to end. Well, you know, how do I do that? I don't get it. How do I access that place?
Well, let's put it in a different frame of reference and see if it helps us. You already are there. You're just unconscious of it. How's that?
Ah, okay. So I don't really have to go somewhere or leave behind this. I just have to... I think I read a book years ago. It was called Practicing the Presence of God.
Oh, it's a great book.
And this gentleman talked about his walk or his relationship with God, and he seemed like he was there all the time. What you're talking about as the heaven part, because he talked with God as if he was a friend, and he talked about it all as if it was happening with him all the time. And I never quite understood how he got to that place. Like, what's the mechanism? I recognize you're teaching me these secrets, but are these secrets going to lead me to that place?
Yeah. Gee, that's a perfect example. And you use the term aware, and I think that's it. That if we refuse to believe, being aware, and in fact, being aware that I'm not aware, is becoming aware.
Okay, that's the first step, right?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, so...
Wait a minute, this is one of these things, again, you jumped on that too quickly. Why don't you want to argue with that one?
Well, I don't want to argue with that one because I understand that, and it's part of my experience that once I become aware. So, for example, if I don't know I've got a bad habit, the best way to leave it and continue doing that bad habit all the time is to not be aware of that I even have the habit. And then somebody comes along and says, "Well, Ryan, did you know that you pick your nose?" No, I wasn't aware of that.
This is perfect. I love this. Yeah, you like shining light on things, and this is a great big spotlight. Habit. We're in the habit of unbelief. We're in a habit that really God doesn't exist. This is all there is. This physical plane. This is everything. And we live here, and we die here. And then you've got the religious teachers that tell us that we're good boys here, then we get to go on to what's next. Well, what next exists right now, and the key is to enter into it right now. This is life with a capital L, and wow, what we're talking about is we're not aware of it most of the time. So how do we get aware of it? And you seem to be ready to jump on the fact that, oh, all I have to understand is I'm in a bad habit of not being aware.
Right. And so now that I know that, I can stop picking my nose. Or at least I'll be recognizing, I'll be at least notice when I'm picking my nose.
Yeah, but that's great. That's a good one.
If you ever have a look at little kids, they tend to pick their nose. But if you told them when they weren't picking their nose that they picked their nose, they'd go, "No, I don't." You actually have to catch them in the act before they'll believe you, right?
Hey, well, this is a good one because it's easy to catch people in the act of not believing. But my mind is flashing on a lawyer guy not too long ago, and he says, "Well, you can believe anything." And yeah, you really can. And his belief was there is nothing else but, you know, what he could see.
I've met lots of those people. It's amazing.
Yeah, and what's amazing to me is Christianity is loaded with it.
It is. It is. And we tend to rely on our senses quite a bit.
No, I'm sorry, what?
I said we tend to rely on our five senses quite a bit, but there obviously there is more to this than meets the eye. I mean,
well, that's it exactly. Our eye misleads us.
Yeah, and there's a good teacher that I've read of a couple of his books and I admire them. Bob Proctor, he said, and this was in a movie, they were interviewing him, and he said, "I don't know how electricity works, but I know it works."
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the same thing with accessing spirit. I don't know how it works, but it works.
Exactly.
So I don't know how prayer works, I just know it works. That when I pray and ask God for more faith, I get that. And I also get more awareness. It goes with it. It's a package deal. A little bit further on, Brad, you say, "We are practiced procrastinators." Okay, guilty. You know what? I still have to walk my dogs. I still have to make sure my kids get fed and dressed and out the door for school. I still have to go to work. I still need to spend some time, some me time, just relaxing, some exercise. And is that practicing procrastination? Is that what you're talking about? Or is there a different sort of procrastination that you're referring to? Am I supposed to just stop what I'm doing and pray that moment, or what?
I see where you are. That's wonderful. Good question. That's an excellent question. And the reason it's an excellent question is that the essence of living in the spirit realm now is never stop praying.
How do I do that?
The easiest way to start for me, this is a Cohenism now, but what helped me break through that was the beginning of never stopping thanking God for everything. Being thankful, having an attitude of gratitude about everything.
Okay.
You know, somewhere, I guess it was Paul, it says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And I grabbed hold of that, and I started believing that and doing it and practicing and irritating people around me. I can remember I had a flat tire, and the guy that was with me, I said, "Oh, praise God, what is the matter with you?" I'll never forget that. And it didn't stop me, and I wouldn't be stopped. Well, once you get into that habit of understanding it, this whole thing of practicing the presence of God is easiest, I believe, to start from that venue of gratitude, of being thankful.
I get it. So that's what worked for you. You started finding gratitude wherever you could, or just making gratitude wherever you could. I remember you used to say you made it a habit of, when somebody asked you how you were, to say perfect.
Yep.
Is that one of those practices that you're talking about too, that also helped you, in essence, practice the presence of God or live in the eternal now?
I don't know if you remember the story, but how it started in grocery clerk in Hawaii, and when I was checking out, and I get to her stand, and she says, "How are you this evening, sir?" And it just came out of me. I had no intention of saying it, but I said, "Perfect." And she frowned and looked at me, and I said, "How are you?" And she said, "Well, I'm certainly not perfect." And it just in me triggered to ask her, "Well," I said, "who lives inside you?" And she squared her shoulders and looked at me, and pretty young lady, and she said, "Jesus Christ." And I said, "Well, then why don't you let him do the talking?" And it got her. I mean, she said, "Oh, that's what you mean. That's what you mean. Oh, this is wonderful." Well, anyway, she walked all the way out to the parking lot with me, carried my groceries, locked her cash register just so she could tell me how great it was.
Thanks. Actually, Brad, that's a perfect story. It's a great example, and you've given us two ways that we can, and I'm going to call it practice the presence of God, or use, maybe I'll phrase it in Brad Cullen terms, experience the eternal now. How about that? The last question I have about this secret, Brad, and I don't mean to sound arrogant and abusive, but, oh my gosh, avoid death altogether? Really, Brad, avoid death altogether? I think science might be against you. I think maybe biblically, that's against you too. So if I've got science and the Bible both agreeing that I'm going to die, how the heck am I supposed to accept this statement from you? That seems a bit of a stretch.
Why don't you, number one, why don't you tell me where in the Bible it says that you're going to die?
I believe that somewhere in the Old Testament, in the first five books, man's days shall be appointed at 120.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty clear, isn't it? 120 days.
Well, and there's in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, there's one that people will usually throw at me, and that is appointed. So you've got various biblical statements. I'm saying that you can get beyond that, and that's what Jesus came to do, is to abolish death. There is no more death. But it's by accessing the spirit realm right now and believing that you don't have to die. You know, well, it's the greatest presentation. It's so crazy. Right there in Hebrews, in the faith chapter, says in Enoch, it's about Enoch. By faith he didn't die. By his faith he didn't die. What on earth does that mean?
I don't know.
Nobody wants to look at that, but that's right in the Bible, isn't it?
Well, it's quite a stretch. I think the reason why most people don't want to look at it is because they just scratch their head, like I'm doing right now, like a monkey. I got my arm up, and I'm scratching my head going, huh? Let's avoid death altogether? Huh? Okay, don't get me wrong. There's lots of companies out there that say that cryogenics and nanotechnology and all this wonderful stuff that within a few generations will... people won't have to die anymore, and I love that science and technology and science fiction, but avoid death altogether. And sure, the Bible says some nice stories about some guys who didn't die.
Okay, do you want to know how to do that?
But hold on, let me finish. The guy who said that Jesus came to abolish death was not Jesus. It was one of the apostles or disciples or somebody, and he's dead.
Yeah, I think they all died. I think you're right on the money there. Yes, but wait a minute. I think what we've done is we've reached one of these points where I just say, okay, Ryan, you win, I quit.
Oh, good. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, the objective is not to win here. That's not my goal. My goal is to understand, what does this mean, avoid death altogether?
It means that for those who believe, and who believe it's possible, can avoid death altogether. But if you don't believe, then forget it.
Well, how do I get to my belief to the level where I can do that?
Well, are you gaining faith now that you've started a new prayer regimen?
Every day. I tell you, I look at the world a little bit differently every day.
Super. Now, begin to open your mind to this one,
mm-hmm.
and go to that 11th chapter of Hebrews and read it again and look at it, and it's amazing. You know, it's, wow. What is it? I think it's the fifth and sixth verse. God rewards those who, you know, not just believe in his existence. Demons believe that God exists, and they shake and tremble with fear because they know what their destiny is. But if you go to him wanting fellowship with him and wanting to be connected, that's what this is all about, is being connected to our daddy. And if we are, he is a rewarder of those who come to him believing. Mm. You got to believe. Mm. And so if you don't believe, what do? You have found a formula for your life, and I know this is true. Tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm overstating it, but you've begun to really realize that you've found a way to have your faith increase every day.
That's true.
This is the ultimate faith. In fact, on our site, that one you set up for Brad on, I wrote about this, and that's extreme faith.
Okay.
So this is where you're going. If you want extreme faith, how extreme can you get? Is to finally realize that, number one, you're already in the kingdom of heaven
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
But walking your dog and cleaning up his messes and all that is not exactly a heavenly chore. And the way you get past it is to start with, is to be thankful for him making the mess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm being facetious, but, you know.
I get it. I understand what you're saying. So let me follow, see if I can encapsulate your theory. I don't want to say theology, because that's a bad word, I think, in your dictionary. But if I am practicing and aware of my presence and enjoying and participating in my presence in the kingdom of heaven, when the time comes that my body bag just kind of gives up and says expiry date, you know, 2046, whatever that day is, I don't know, it won't make any difference to me, because I'll be spending all my time in the kingdom of heaven anyway, and I'll barely even notice the transition.
Well, and that's one way of looking at it, and I have to say, I'm going against the stream of almost everyone else, but the fact is there is another possibility, and the other possibility is it had you home. And everybody talks about the Christianese, the Christian language for that is, well, when you're dead and you go to, you're having your funeral, well, Dad took him home. Well, no, Dad didn't take him home. Don't forget, it's not God's place to kill your body. It's the enemy's. It's Satan. That's what our last conversation was about.
Okay, so you're telling me that my body does not have to perish either.
Well, that's, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that's what happened with Enoch.
And that's
Enoch's
what
body couldn't be found because he didn't die. He avoided death altogether.
Okay, and I think they say Elijah was another one, wasn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, right. He was caught up in a whirlwind.
Okay, so there's three references in the Bible of people who didn't die, so to speak. Their physical bodies didn't die, and
but Enoch is the important one. It's an important example for us, because it's very clear that in the reference the writer is making, if you want to take the Enoch route and have, and when it's time for this body bag to pull its disappearing act, you're in fellowship so that it doesn't have to die. He'll take the whole mess.
And fix it, I hope.
Well, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he has that capacity.
I'm sure
he does. It's so beautiful. You know, he didn't die because God took him because of his faith.
You know, it's funny. I just have one challenge with this, and you'll have to forgive me, but if I bring up this as a reference, and many of our listeners may not even know this information whatsoever, but recently the Gospel of Judas surfaced. National Geographic Society picked up the task and restored it as best and then had it translated, and of course it's full of holes, but nonetheless, the presentation given in this Gospel of Judas is that it's the body that prevents us from accessing the kingdom of heaven, and that letting go of the body is something that is required. Now, is that Judas's interpretation of Jesus's teaching? I don't know, but the concept is that releasing of the body and freeing yourself of the body is the evolution, so to speak.
Well, it gets back to something, and this is also on that Brad on, which is about fasting, because the way to overcome, the only way I've known, and I've seen others who have gone through this process, and I know it's you have too, the thing that gets you through into the spirit realm is to understand that you don't need to eat. I think I have told you in the past about the fellow I met in Hawaii who would go for 6 months at a time. To me, fasting is the first step to becoming a little bit crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a crazy realm, but I fully believe that I don't have to die, and the key to that is by being in constant fellowship with Dad and wanting for Dad to take me home at the appointed time. I'm not afraid of death at all, but I don't believe I have to go there. So why experience it? Why not just go direct? And if I'm already in the kingdom, as you just said a moment ago, then the transition ought to be fun, and nobody's going to be around crying. When Jesus said we don't have to die, and he meant it that way. You know, people say, well, no, he meant it in a spiritual way. You know, well, there is that. I'm not taking away from that. If you've had a loved one die and you want assurance that that loved one is in the spirit realm, he is, or she is. It's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. So, Brad, I'm going to have to work to get there. I'll give it a try, and I'll tell you over this experience and see how far my faith can get and if I can accept that statement. But avoiding death altogether, to me, that means in the spirit, and I'm comfortable with that, and maybe my comfort will change as time goes on. So let's see where we go. Thank you very much for 5A.
All right, bye-bye.